Welcome to Crafting Solutions to Conflict, a podcast exploring how to deal effectively with conflict, actual and potential, good and bad. Engaging guests discuss a range of insights, and I cover tips and topics based on my 35-year fascination with conflict and my experience helping people with it. I'm your host, Jane Bettel, and my goal is to share a perspective on conflict that is both practical and positive. What are microaggressions? Today is part one of two parts. This time, I want to say a few words about microaggressions. For openers, what are they? Next time, the focus will be on what to do about them. I first heard the term microaggression a few years ago in the world of conflict professionals. Not necessarily something associated with conflict resolution, but more broadly in the context of dealing with conflict effectively, including not creating negative conflict in the first place. So what is a microaggression? With apologies to every teacher who would scold me for relying on this authority, I turn to Wikipedia, which is actually a pretty good resource for this purpose. Microaggression is a term used for brief and commonplace daily verbal, behavioral, or environmental indignities, whether intentional or unintentional, that communicate hostile, derogatory, or negative, prejudicial slights and insults toward any group, particularly culturally marginalized groups. A key point: microaggressions can be intentional or unintentional. In fact, they can be well-meaning. And the person sending out a microaggression might not be aware of its potential impact. But to the person who is on the receiving end of the comment, gesture, or other expression, it can feel like a slight, a put-down, an insult, an attack. Microaggressions are tied up with negative stereotypes and assumptions. The term was coined by a psychiatrist and Harvard professor, Chester M. Pierce, in the 1970s. The focus then was on comments and gestures directed at African Americans by Americans who were not Black. Over time, the concept was more widely applied to anyone in a marginalized group. A microaggression could be based on someone's gender, sexual orientation, disability, religion, ethnicity, age, or country of origin. And in recent weeks, the topic has appeared more frequently, specifically in the context of racial injustice. Granted, some have criticized the term as too vague and the idea fraught with potential to shut down conversation and interaction between groups. Staying in silos isn't helpful. I'd suggest that we almost always do well in giving careful thought to what we say and do and how that could affect others. And so that's our assignment. I include myself for the week, thinking about what we might casually say or do that signals an insult based on a negative stereotype of a marginalized group. A few examples: asking to touch a Black woman's hair, subtly doubting a woman's skills and qualifications in science or math, questioning whether a man appears too youthful for his position, whether an older person is capable of using or learning new technologies, telling your new colleague from China that her name is too hard to pronounce, inquiring if a gay person would like to meet your one gay friend, telling a person with a disability how inspiring he or she is, asking why a woman is wearing a head covering. Let's work on awareness of what we say and do, and what others say and do, and the effect of those words and actions. Next time, how to deal with our own impulses and how to respond to microaggressions. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the Crafting Solutions to Conflict podcast, please share it, leave a rating or review, subscribe through one of the major apps. For anyone new to podcasts, here's something you may not know. Subscribing is free. You can also find the show at craftingsolutionstoconflict.com. Comments or ideas? Let me know. Until next time, I'm Jane Bettle.